Good morning, Hope Church. How are you today? It's a good day, isn't it? You know, we're alive, we're breathing, and we've got a great message to dig our teeth into and enjoy and grow as believers and be challenged as believers. My name is Charles. I'm a member of Hope Church, and yeah, let's get stuck in and let's get into God's Word and truly find life and hope, refinement, joy, challenge and understanding to know who God is. So I'm carrying on the preaching series of challenging stories, the parables of Jesus. And I've been tasked with unpacking and explaining the servants and the talents in Matthew 25 verses 14 to 27. If you can turn there. And we can read together and really grow in God's word and understanding of who he is. Matthew 25, 14 to 27. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. I think we first need to understand the context of this scripture. We need to understand the certain parts of scripture to help us grow in understanding in the modern era. What is the kingdom of heaven? Now, I've been a Christian for a very long time. I've been around church doctrine all my life. And I must say, I do struggle with understanding what the kingdom of heaven is. But Jesus, in these parables that we're teaching over these in this preaching series, speaks a lot about the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Well, first of all, one part of the kingdom of heaven is those people who are a part of it, you know, through their faith in Jesus Christ. That's like me and you. But also, we must understand that there are people who are part of the kingdom of heaven who are not sincere in their belief, or neither do they truly believe. It's a superficial belief. That's not for us to judge, but Jesus clearly speaks of the wheat and the chaff and the goats and the lambs. And he's expressing there those who are genuine and sincere, the lambs, and those who are superficial and insincere, which are the goats. That's not for us to decipher and to point out you, no. God knows those whose are his. But in order for this parable to make sense, we must understand the kingdom of heaven. And we can build from that to understand what this parable means to me and to you. In Romans 14:17, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is not eating or drinking. It's not functions and the physical world. But it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So we know the premise for the kingdom of heaven is in the Holy Spirit. That's why God knows those who are His. God knows those who have His Spirit in them. I think the nugget that the golden nugget I found when looking into the kingdom of heaven, God's really trying to get across His culture to us. The way He behaves, the way He thinks, the way He wants us to act. So we can look at that first part of scripture and read it like this instead. "For God's culture is like a man. For God's behavior is like a man. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man." The kingdom of heaven is God's culture, God's behavior, God's characteristics. And the three talents helps us understand God's characteristic concerning ability. So we need to unpack even more and go a bit deeper so we understand what the kingdom of heaven is. It's God's culture, it's God's behavior. Now we need to understand what are talents. In the modern era, we know talents to be as skills and abilities. You know, I can dance, or I can sing, or I can, you know, do many other activities. But talent in the Jewish culture, in the old Jewish culture, that's in the Old Testament, was a very large stone. And it was placed on a scale to weigh out whatever was on the other side. So say, for instance, you had silver, gold, bronze, or other precious metals or stones, the talent will help you understand how much of that would be of value to you. It will be a fair way of understanding amount of value. It was the largest unit of currency at the time when Jesus was speaking about this parable. So the people listening, it meant, they knew exactly what it meant. It's like me standing in front of you and saying £1 million. Immediately you understand the value in terms of your society and where you live. So when someone said a talent, it meant, you know, people knew what it meant. One talent is worth today £300,000. So now think about it. The one who received two received £600,000. His master said, "Here's £600,000. Go and make more of it." To the one who got five, to the one who got one, and so forth. You can calculate that for yourselves. We can sum up, a lot was given. So how does this apply to me and you? Now we've got the foundation and the context of understanding what the kingdom of heaven is, so we know what the parable is about, and what it's referencing. Two, we understand what a talent is. We understand that talent is a large unit of currency to the likes of £300,000. So now how does this apply to us nowadays? Because I don't think it was explicitly talking just about money. I think the parable can really grow and become something that applies to us individually, whether we are financially rich or financially not rich, poor. Doesn't matter. I think this parable speaks to every single one of us. We can apply this parable in terms of life resources, the talents. As life resources, like time, money, abilities, and authority. If talent was a weight of measure of value, that means your ability to God has tremendous value to His kingdom. Your ability for resources of time, money, authority, and abilities holds high value to God and His kingdom. So the first thing you need to understand is that whatever ability you have, it has tremendous value to God. Verse 15, it speaks of the ability to each person. Each person had their own ability. He knew how much they would be able to handle, in other words. He knew their measure of ability. He gave goods according to their ability. You've received a gift according to your ability. You've received a skill or received an intangible according to your ability. So the ones who use the talents, they traded with them. So once they received the ability, they traded with them. Once they received the talents, they traded with them. So the question, we can both ask ourselves, do we use our abilities towards helping others? It's not just about money. It's not just about financing transactions of goods, but it could be abilities of loving others, loving your Christian family, helping others, living a godly life, serving with the abilities that you've been given. Do you do that? Is that something you can look in the mirror and say, I serve with the abilities that God has given me? We need to understand the nature of the servants. We bunch them up into two categories. We have the single by himself, the inactive servant, and we have the two grouped up as the active servants. We're going to speak on the inactive servants first and see how we can really unpack how this applies to me and applies to you. The inactive servant. He buried it, didn't he? He buried his talent for fear of a hard master. But fear, what is fear? Why was he scared? Why are you scared to not use your abilities? I know why I can be scared not to use my abilities at times. I think fear makes us irrational, doesn't it? It makes us have an impulsive reaction. We just splurt out. We just go for it. We just go, I'm going to get out of this, or I'm going to go left, I'm going to go right, I'm going to make an irrational decision. I'm not going to think about the process. I just want to escape this unknown or this situation that's making me feel unusual. Fear makes us want to run. There's a great acronym that I've seen. F-E-A-R, fear. Forget everything can run. We can have that type of fear. Forget everything can run, or we can respond to fear with face everything and rise. Courage, go directly into it. But this servant had fear. His inactivity sprouted from fear. And it made him irrational. He buried the talent. He took £300,000, put it in a suitcase and buried it in the back of his garden. Just to give context of imagination to help us understand this in today's terms. He took £300,000, put it in a suitcase and buried it in his garden. I don't know what he hoped to happen from that. He knew there would be no investment from that. But his fear overcame reason. His fear overcame a desire to see things grow. He had a misunderstanding of his Lord. He had misunderstanding of his master. He said, I know you to be a hard man. You know, sometimes we look at God like that, don't we? Judgment, wrath, fire, indignation. Oh, he's looking at you, shaking his finger. Why haven't you done this? You need to do this. And you didn't do this morning, or you haven't accomplished this task. The Bible says he's rich in loving kindness. And the Bible speaks of that concerning me and concerning you. He is rich in loving kindness. It endures forever. We need to see God in the right context, the way he wants you to see him. That he is rich in mercies. New every morning, his mercies. He's a faithful God. So in that circumstance of the inactive servant, did he see what God could do, or did he see what he could do? Did he see what his master could gain from his investment or his activity, or did he think about, I can't do this, I can't make it happen. My master is a hard man. Even if I double this, he would still look at me and be like, you haven't done enough. He had an incorrect view of his master. We need to have the correct view of who God is. We need to have a correct view of how he sees you. You're his child. He loves you. We are joint heirs with Jesus to heaven. This is who we are. And we find that out when we go through scripture and we turn those pages and we allow the Spirit to truly imprint on us, in our hearts, our identity of who we are in Jesus Christ. For many years, I buried my talent. Came to Hope Church nearly 6 years ago. And the previous church we was at, I served, I was given my talents and so forth. But sometimes that can be mismanaged. And abuse can happen. And overuse can happen. Spiritual burnout can happen. And tiredness and fatigue can happen. So I came to Hope Church and I buried my talent. Whether parts of that may be for good reasons and parts of that may have been due to fear of the same reoccurring again. But I buried them. Didn't want to be known for my talents, didn't want to be in that spotlight. You know, and God over his time, through his grace and his love and his mercy and his loving kindness that every morning was new to me, he restored me and he gave me hope. He gave me life. He repositioned me. He showed me who I am as his child. And the same for you and the same for me. Until I understood that God is for me, I started to see my ability and my giftings and my talents and my skills completely different. He's for me. It's not about building my kingdom, it's about building his kingdom. Isaiah 41:10, a scripture that is really potent to me currently in this season of storms in my life, says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That righteous right hand is a hand of vindication. He will take care of you. He will fight your corner. Though the injustices can be around you, he will fight your corner. You don't have to be afraid and bury your gift. You don't have to be afraid and bury your ability. Pick up your hands and do. Do not be like the inactive servant who was afraid. Do not be like the inactive servant who didn't know his master, who didn't know his father. That's to me and that's to you. We need to know who God is so we can be active for him, not for each other. It's for him primarily. And I guess the blessings flow down from that, don't they? When we serve God, the blessings flow down to others and the care and the administration and helps around us. It flows out, doesn't it? But we serve him with our whole heart. Sometimes it's our misrepresentation of seeing God by the standards which he sets for himself. I'm a God who loves you. I'm a God who cares for you. I'm a God who lifts you up. I'm a God who, when your foot slips, I catch you. Stand up and be proactive and multiply for God. Don't be that inactive servant. Another area was laziness. Because you wicked and lazy servant. You did nothing. You know, laziness is a big issue, isn't it? Because it's easy to do nothing. It's easy to fold our hands and put our feet up and say, "Oh, somebody else will do it." It's easy for us to say, "It's not really that important to me." Or, "I'm afraid," or whatever it may be. Excuses. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Do not be excused by laziness. Let us be active for the Lord. There were times in my life, much younger in the faith, where I would point the finger at others and say, "Oh, they need to do this better. If I was there, I would do this," and I would, you know, mouth off. But in the end, I would find myself in a situation where God would look at me and says, "What are you doing? Concerning that, what are you doing?" Easy to be judgmental from the sofa, isn't it? Until you get yourself into the field, you would never know what it's really like. Get into the field, roll up your sleeves, and let's get on fire for Jesus. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, "Because of laziness the building decays, and through idleness of hands the house leaks." Sometimes we can look at God's church like that, can't we? It's leaking. It's decaying. Because we aren't active with our hands. As a tribe, as a family, as a people together. I think this is a stern warning from scripture for us to act. I don't believe this is a passive a verse or portion of scripture. I think it's a stern warning for us to act. And it's important for us to know that even though it's a stern warning, it's not about performance. We don't do because we want to earn our salvation. We do because we've already earned our salvation through accepting the free gift of Jesus. Because he's died for us. Because he sacrificed himself for us, we have life. We need a mindset for multiplication, don't we? We need a mindset for action. And that's a prayer that we must have this week is, Lord, stir me up that I may act. Lord, give me a mindset to multiply. Lord, give me a mindset to use my ability. So let's get on to the active servants now. How can we be like the active servants and not like the inactive servants? We understand laziness. We understand fear. These things aren't acceptable excuses. God says, fear not, for I'm with you. And we don't want to see things decay. We don't want to see things break down. We don't want to see maintenance issues in the church, in our lives. Well, we pick up our hands and we go and do. We use the ability that God has given to us. So let's talk about the active servants now. Have you noticed? It was, they had faithfulness in their variation. So one received five and the other received two. But the one who received five didn't look at the one who received two and says, oh, well, I'm doing more work than you. And the one who had two didn't look at five and say, oh my gosh, why did you get so much? They had faithfulness in their varying gifts. Each had their own measure. I want to speak to you about comparison. The active servants did not engage in comparison. We live in a world of social media where everything is built on the premise of comparison. Let me compare how I look to this person, what I have to this person. And depression, disappointment, dejection, all of these things start to seep into our lives if we don't really protect the windows to the soul, which is our eyes. Comparison is comparing everything we know about ourselves against the little we know about others. Think of a social media profile. How much do you really know about that person? But yet you'll compare the full arsenal of your ability, the full arsenal of your life against the very little information that you know about somebody else's. We need to sober our minds. We need to wake up. We need to see the truth of Scripture and be free, God's people. Be free. It's time for that. Because God knows your ability, doesn't he? He knows your measure. He knows your breaking points. He knows the ways to push you and the ways to get you going. And he's given enough for each person. So don't compare what somebody else has to what you have. Just be faithful in what he's given to you. Our focus should be on using our gift, not comparing our gifts. When you're focused on doing for the kingdom of heaven, you ain't got time to be looking at what somebody else is doing because you're busy in your own work. Some great analogies that could be spoken around it, but I'm sure in your own minds it's working, because when you think about it, when you're focused and you're in your own work and you've got the blinkers on, you're not worried, you're looking, oh, what is he doing and what are they doing? You're saying, Lord, I'm doing this for you. You've given me my own measure of gifts and abilities. Let me use them for your glory. God is interested in multiplication. When he gives you something, he's interested in you multiplying it. God is the God of the seed. Multiplies. See, the smallest seed grows the largest trees. From one seed, many seeds. You know, I learned this. Strawberries have seeds on the outside. So when you think of a strawberry, you see all those dots on the outside, which is the seeds, came from one seed. One seed can grow a small strawberry bush, and you can get at least 10 to 15 strawberries. I'm not going to calculate what that is, but you can see how many seeds came from one seed. If we have that mindset, that from one seed, from one act of our ability, for us being faithful with the one seed that God has given to us, how much fruit, how much life, how much vitality, how much multiplication can we have for the kingdom of heaven? Let's change our mindset. Let's not feed into the lies of the enemy and tells us, oh, it's not good enough. Oh, your little small thing ain't going to work. Who cares about your tiny, insignificant seed? He cares about it because he knows that if you put that in the ground and germinate that, and God brings increase for that, which he will because he's faithful to do so, amazing things can happen. Take that revelation in. One seed, many seeds. One seed, the largest trees. So let's be faithful people of God and plant those seeds in the ground. Let's be faithful people of God and plant those seeds in the ground and see God's kingdom multiply. I'm not just talking about souls and winning souls. I'm talking about loving each other, caring for each other, seeing God's kingdom grow. The ability you have, so much can come from it. So just stir up love and good works in you. As I'm stirring it up in myself, as I'm preaching this, you know, I'm really stirring it up. Forgiveness is one of those areas where I'm trying to stir up in my life. Forgive others, those who've done me wrong, or those I've done wrong. You know, we preached about it a couple of weeks back about forgiveness. Forgiveness is important. Relationships to be restored. That's an ability I have, and I have an ability to forgive. And I need to exercise that. And I need to make that culture in my life. I need to keep that alive. It's an ability though, isn't it? Forgiveness. Financially alleviating the poor. A poor neighbour. Somebody who can't pay or who can't meet a certain a bill or who is in debt. And you have surplus. That's an ability. Standing up for the weak or vulnerable. Those who have lost their voice. Those who are abused. Those who are destitute. Those who are outcast. Speak up for them. That's an ability. Your voice is an ability. By speaking God's truth in worldly circles. People who speak ill about God and mistruths about God or heresies about God or factual doctrine on scripture and theology. Stand up and speak. That's an ability. Boldness is an ability. Courage is an ability. What about serving with physical talents? You may have a talent. It's hidden away. It might be your day 9 to 5. It might be something that you practice in the spare time. Think, I'm not good enough to do that. There's no way I can serve in the church with that. Oh, they're going to think I'm... Absolutely not. Come forward and be bold with your ability. Don't bury your ability. We're meeting back in person in a few weeks' time. You know, people to serve, people to build God's kingdom in administration and helps and many other areas. So there's contact. The website, go onto the contact and type in your name and say, look, I want to serve somewhere. I have this ability. I want to do for the kingdom of heaven. I want to be active for the kingdom of heaven. I want to be full of vibrancy for the kingdom of heaven. Use your hands. We all have an ability and God calls us to use it to build his kingdom and to bring about multiplication, to bring about life, to bring about life. God is the God of life, isn't he? He is, for me and for you. Be encouraged today. This is not about pointing the finger. No, it's about stirring the heart. Stirring the heart, you know, getting the limbs moving in the spirit and saying, what am I doing for the kingdom of heaven? So let's conclude and bring this to a head. Later on in scripture, in that part of scripture, it speaks of after a long time he returned. I want to speak to those people who have been serving, who have been putting the miles in, who have been using the ability that's in their hands. Those who faithfully serve, those who have been living out this parable, whether the 5 talents or the 2 talents, to keep going. Keep multiplying. Don't lose heart. Don't bow out now. You've been running for the Lord. You've been pushing for the Lord. You've been working hard for the Lord. And he sees every tear, every sweat, and every blood drop. He sees every moment where you've put in 100% every time. And I know you feel weary. I know at times you're just like, God, I'm running, I'm empty. But the Lord says, I'll fill you up to go again, to go again, to go again. Because you're not doing it for yourself. You're not even doing it for others. You're doing it for your Father in heaven. You're busy about your Father's business. In time, the accounts will be settled. Why did Jesus use the word accounts? And why does our account need settling? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 17. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, which is Jesus Christ, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as so through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Me and you are temples of the Most High God. And we must live out a holy life. With our hands, the ability to do what is right, do what is good, to build for His kingdom. The amount of ability one can give doesn't matter. The amount of ability one can give doesn't matter. One had five, one had two, one had one. It doesn't matter about the amount. It matters about being faithful. Your faithfulness concerning what you have in your hands. It's about being good. It's about being faithful with the measure of your ability. This is not about talent. Oh, I can dance, I can sing, I can whatever. It means the very fact you have two hands, you can do something. What ability can you do? Where do you see help is needed? Where can you be a filler, to stand in a gap? The reward was the same for both who had five and two. The reward was the same. Enter into the joy of the Lord, which is heaven. The reward is the same. Don't worry about the amount you've been given. Don't worry about your perception of the effectiveness of your gift or talent or ability. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is that you do something. What's relevant is that you become active. What's relevant is that we build the kingdom of heaven together, because we all receive the same reward, entering into the joy of the Lord. So I've got three questions for you today to end this sermon off. Are we about our Father's business? Ask yourself, when the Lord returns and asks you, what did you do with the abilities, the time, and the resources you were given? What would be your response? Let's pray. Father God, I pray you would shake the nest. Wake up your people to see the ability that we have in our hands to use for your kingdom. Father God, I pray you will shake up the hearts of your people today. Father Lord, you call for an active people. You call for a people who are active to build your kingdom, Lord. Not busy for the world, but busy about their Father's business. Just like our Savior when he walked this earth, he was about his Father's business. Father, I pray that, Lord, you will render useless every seed of comparison, because that kills the dream. It kills the focus, Lord. It stagnates the ability. Father, kill the seeds of comparison in your people today. And I pray, Lord, that you will give them a heart that is faithful, that is good, and that is focused on the kingdom of Jesus. Focused on the culture of the Father. Jesus, today, I thank you for all that you have done, Lord, concerning Hope Church and where we are today. And I pray, Lord, that many hearts will come to serve your kingdom and to see it grow and multiply. We thank you for the revelation into your word. And we pray, Lord, that the seed will take deep root, Lord, and make lasting change. In your precious and wonderful name, Jesus.